Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. In October of 2017 at the Feast of Tabernacles, I had a heart attack. I was rushed to the hospital, they did surgery, and then they proceeded to prescribe all kinds of big pharma stuff for my bad diabetes that I discovered I had. Well, the big pharma did absolutely nothing to help my healing or the diabetes. So this year, in 2018, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right after Passover, my friend Patrick had brought some Youngevity products from yourdiyhealth.com. He gave me them as I needed to be shown that they work because I'm such a terrible skeptic. Well, these things provided my body with the nutrients needed to heal itself, and I am absolutely amazed. I am not used to endorsing anything, but this stuff has worked wonders for me. You can contact Jim Ram, whose show is on EFR, at yourdiyhealth.com. That's yourdiyhealth.com. And the toll-free order number for those Youngevity products is 855-809-6864. That's 855-809-6864. If you have any of the problems that I was experiencing with diabetes or slow healing, I suggest that you try these products. I am sold on them. They really work. Thank you very much for your time, and may Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 9th of May 2018. It is my 380th word for word show, not counting the repeats. That's just the new shows. Pardon me. We are in the Apocrypha in the book of Sirach. It's an amazing book with lots of proverb like comments in it. It is a good read. We're going to be starting in chapter 8. And we'll start in this section after I give my website. My website is www.pastor-steve.com. It's not an interactive site. You can't troll there. It's for download and listening. And there's a sales section, shows you how to get my copies of my Torah, etc., etc. And enjoy. Let's get into chapter 8 of the book of Sirach. We'll start off here in the subsection called Prudence and Common Sense. And that's what it entails. Verse 1. Do not contend with the powerful, or you may fall into their hands. Verse 2. Do not quarrel with the rich, in case their resources outweigh yours, for gold has ruined many and has perverted the minds of kings. Let's stop right there. You know whose resources outweigh yours today. We are under concerted attack by the Talmudists, and their gold has perverted the minds of our rulers today. So this holds as true today as it did back then. Verse 3 of chapter 8. Do not argue with the loud of mouth, and do not heap wood on their fire. Boy. Verse 4. Do not make fun of one who is ill-bred, or your ancestors may be insulted. Verse 5. Do not reproach one who is turning away from sin. Remember that we all deserve punishment. Verse 6. Do not disdain one who is old, for some of us are also growing old. Verse 7. Do not rejoice over anyone's death. Remember that we must all die. Verse 8. Do not slight the discourse of the sages, but busy yourself with their maxims, because from them you will learn discipline and how to serve princes. Verse 9. Do not ignore the discourse of the aged, for they themselves learn from their parents or ancestors in the Greek. From them you learn how to understand and to give an answer when the need arises. Oh yeah. Verse 10. Do not kindle the coals of sinners, or you may be burned in their flaming fire. Verse 11. Do not let the insolent bring you to your feet, or they may lie in ambush against your words. In other words, they may be setting you up, okay? Pulling your chain, being a troll. Verse 12. Do not lend to one who is stronger than you, but if you do lend anything, count it as a loss. In other words, they probably won't pay you back. Verse 13. Do not give surety beyond your means, but if you give surety, be prepared to pay. Verse 14. Do not go to law against a judge, for the decision will favor him because of his standing. Yeah, don't buck the closed club that are our perverted courts today. Verse 15. Do not go traveling with the reckless, or they will be burdensome to you, for they will act as they please, and through their folly you will perish with them. Verse 16. Do not pick a fight with the quick-tempered, and do not journey with them through lonely country, because bloodshed means nothing to them, and where no help is at hand, they will strike you down. In other words, you can say one little wrong thing and they'll turn and slam you. Verse 17. Do not consult with fools, for they cannot keep a secret. Verse 18. In the presence of strangers, do nothing that is to be kept secret, for you do not know what they will divulge. And the other version is, you do not know what it will bring forth. Okay. Verse 19. Do not reveal your thoughts to anyone, or you may drive away your happiness. That's the Hebrew. In the Greek, or, and let him not return a favor to you. Okay, now that ends chapter 8. Let's get into chapter 9 here, verse 1, and you can reference Numbers chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. That's Numbers chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Verse 1 of chapter 9. Do not be jealous of the wife of your bosom, or you will teach her an evil lesson to your own hurt. Verse 2. Do not give yourself to a woman and let her trample down your strength. In other words, don't be wimpy. Verse 3. Do not go near a loose woman, or you will fall into her snares. Verse 4. Do not dally with a singing girl, or you will be caught by her tricks. Verse 5. Do not look intently at a virgin, or you may stumble and incur penalties for her. Verse 6. Do not give yourself to prostitutes, or you may lose your inheritance. Verse 7. Do not look around in the streets of a city, or wander about in its deserted sections. Boy, is that ever true. You get mugged. Verse 8. Turn away your eyes from a shapely woman and do not gaze at beauty belonging to another. Many have been seduced by a woman's beauty, and by its passion is kindled like a fire. And by it, passion is kindled like a fire. In other words, you stare at her, and her boyfriend comes up and lays you out. Boom! What are you looking at my woman? Oh, no. Verse 9. Never dine with another man's wife, or revel with her at wine, or your heart may turn aside to her, and in blood you may be plunged into destruction. In other words, if she has a jealous husband, he may shoot you. Or something else. Verse 10 of chapter 9. Do not abandon old friends, for new ones cannot equal them. A new friend is like new wine. When it has aged, you can drink it with pleasure. Verse 11. Do not envy the success of sinners, for you do not know what their end will be like. Verse 12. Do not delight in what pleases the ungodly. Remember, that they will not be held guiltless all their lives. It's going to catch up to them. Verse 13, keep far from those who have power to kill, and you will not be haunted by the fear of death. But if you approach them, make no misstep, or they may rob you of your life. Knowing that you are stepping among snares and that you are walking on the city battlements. Be careful about people with a hot temper that could kill you. Verse 14. As much as you can, aim to know your neighbors and consult with the wise. Verse 15. Let your conversation be with intelligent people, and let all your discussion be about the law of the Most High. Verse 16. Let the righteous be your dinner companions, and let your glory be in the fear of Yahweh. Now here's another little subsection. This goes the last two verses of chapter 9 into chapter 10. It laps into another chapter. Verse 17 of chapter 9. A work is praised for the skill of the artisan, so a people's leader is proved wise by his words. Now this is all about rulers, okay? Verse 18. The loud of mouth are feared in their city, and the one who is reckless in speech is hated. Now, that ends chapter 9, beginning chapter 10, continuing on about rulers here. A wise magistrate educates his people, and the rule of an intelligent person is well ordered. Instead of some of these scattered brain libtards out here. Verse 2 of chapter 10. As the people's judge is, so are his officials. As the ruler of the city is, so are all its inhabitants. Verse 3. An undisciplined king ruins his people, but a city becomes fit to live in through its understanding, or through the understanding of its rulers. Not like the sanctuary cities that they're making out there, where they let all these criminals, etc., in. The rulers are all for that, and the whole city just becomes unfit to live in. Okay. Verse 4. The government of the land is in the hand of Yahweh, and over it he will raise up the right leader for the time. Well, we're waiting. Okay. Verse 5. Human success is in the hand of Yahweh, and it is He who confers honor upon the lawgiver, or a scribe. That's what that means. Now we come into another little subsection here in chapter 10. It's called the sin of pride. Verse 6 of chapter 10. Do not get angry with your neighbor for every injury, and do not resort to acts of insolence. verse 7. Arrogance is hateful to Yahweh and to mortals, and injustice is outrageous to both. Verse 8. Sovereignty passes from nation to nation on account of injustice and insolence and wealth. And after 9 here, how can dust and ashes be proud? Even in life, the human body decays. And after 9a, right there, that I just read, other books have nothing is more wicked than one who loves money, for such a person puts his own soul up for sale. See, I have all these notes in this book. This is the New Revised Standard Version, and they've got a lot of notes in here. Good version. I like it. Verse 10. A long illness baffles the physician. The king of today will die tomorrow. Verse 11. For when one is dead, he inherits maggots and vermin and worms, or wild animals instead of maggots. Verse 12. The beginning of human pride is to forsake Yahweh. The heart has withdrawn from its maker. Wow, that's profound. Verse 13. For the beginning of pride is sin, and the one who clings to it pours out abominations. Therefore, Yahweh brings upon them unheard of calamities and destroys them completely. Now here's verse 14 of chapter 10. You can reference 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8, and the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 52. That's 1 Samuel 2:8 and Luke 1:52. Verse 14 here. Yahweh overthrows the thrones of rulers and enthrones the lowly in their place. Verse 15 of chapter 10. Yahweh plucks up the roots of the nations, and another version reads roots of the proud nations, and plants the humble in their place. Verse 16. Yahweh lays waste the lands of the nations and destroys them to the foundations of the earth. Verse 17. He removes some of them and destroys them and erases the memory of them from the earth. Verse 18. This is very profound here. Pride was not created for human beings, or violent anger for those born of women. Wow. Now that ends that subsection. Now we have subsection in chapter 10, persons deserving honor. Okay. Verse 19. Whose offspring are worthy of honor? And it has human offspring. It would be Adam's offspring. Whose offspring are worthy of honor? Those who fear Yahweh. Whose offspring are unworthy of honor? Human offspring or Adam's offspring. Both, okay? We got good Adamic people and bad Adamic people. Whose offspring are unworthy of honor? Those who break the commandments. Verse 20. Among family members, their leader is worthy of honor, but those who fear Yahweh are worthy of honor in his eyes. They add verse 21 here in another authority. This would be 21. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of acceptance. Obduracy and pride are the beginning of rejection. Okay? So there's a verse actually in this text that they left out, but the notes have it in here, okay? Verse 22. The rich and the eminent and the poor, their glory is the fear of Yahweh. Doesn't matter who you are, rich, famous, or poor. If you believe and fear Yahweh and obey Him, that's your glory. That's good for you. Okay, verse 23. It is not right to despise one who is intelligent but poor. And it is not proper to honor one who is sinful. Wow. Verse 24. The prince and the judge and the ruler are honored, but none of them is greater than the one who fears Yahweh. Boy, that's true. Verse 25. Free citizens will serve a wise servant, and an intelligent person will not complain. Verse 26 of chapter 10. And this has a new subsection here concerning humility. Verse 26. Do not make a display of your wisdom when you do your work, and do not boast when you are in need. Verse 27. Better is the worker who has goods in plenty than the boaster who lacks bread. Ah, oh, man. Verse 28, my child, honor yourself with humility and give yourself the esteem you deserve. Verse 29, who will acquit those who condemn themselves or sin against themselves in the Greek. And who will honor those who dishonor themselves or dishonor their own life? Okay. Verse 30. The poor are honored for their knowledge, while the rich are honored for their wealth. Verse 31. One who is honored in poverty, how much more in wealth? And one dishonored in wealth, how much more in poverty? Boy, this guy cuts right to it, doesn't he? Oh, man. He's laying it on the line here. Here's chapter 11, the deceptiveness of appearances. Yeah. Verse 1. The wisdom of the humble lifts their heads high and seats them among the great. Verse 2. Do not praise individuals for their good looks or loathe anyone because of appearance alone. Verse 3, the bee is small among flying creatures, but what it produces is the best of sweet things. Verse 4, do not boast about wearing fine clothes, and do not exalt yourself when you are honored, for the works of Yahweh are wonderful, and his works are concealed from humankind. Now that would be Adamkind. They have changed a lot of the words in here to make it acceptable in the Judeo-Christian churches. Okay. Verse 5. Many kings have had to sit on the ground, but one who was never thought of has worn a crown. Verse 6 of chapter 11. Many rulers have been utterly disgraced, and the honored have been handed over to others. Now we have another subsection about deliberation and caution. Verse 7 of chapter 11. Do not find fault before you investigate. Examine first and then criticize. Verse 8. Do not answer before you listen, and do not interrupt when another is speaking. Verse 9. Do not argue about a matter that does not concern you. And do not sit with sinners when they judge a case. Verse 10. My child, do not busy yourself with many matters. If you multiply activities, you will not be held blameless. If you pursue, you will not overtake, and by fleeing, you will not escape. Verse 11 of chapter 11. There are those who work and struggle and hurry, but are so much the more in want. Verse 12. There are others who are slow and need help, who lack strength and abound in poverty. But the eyes of Yahweh look kindly upon them. He lifts them out of their lowly condition, verse 13, and raises up their heads to the amazement of the many. Verse 14, good things and bad, life and death, poverty and wealth come from Yahweh. There are two verses missing, 15 and 16, and they have them in the notes, okay? This is B15, which is not included in this text, but it's in the notes. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of the law come from Yahweh. Affection and the ways of good works come from Him. Verse 16, error and darkness were created with sinners. Evil grows old with those who take pride in malice. Verse 17. Reigns with the devout, and his favor brings lasting success. Verse 18 of chapter 11. One becomes rich through diligence and self-denial, and the reward allotted to him is this. Verse 19, when he says, I have found rest, and now I shall feast on my goods. He does not know how long it will be until he leaves them to others and dies. Yep, you win the lottery. You go and put your check in your bank account, and a bus runs over you the next day. Oh, no. Yeah. How are you going to leave all your stuff to others? You're not taking it with you. Verse 20 of chapter 11. Stand by your agreement and attend to it, and grow old in your work. Verse 21. Do not wonder at the works of a sinner, but trust in Yahweh and keep at your job. For it is easy in the sight of Yahweh to make the poor rich suddenly in an instant. Verse 22. The blessings of Yahweh is a reward of the pious. And quickly, Elohim causes his blessing to flourish. And in the Greek, the blessing of Yahweh is in the reward of the pious. So there's two versions of that. Verse 23, do not say, what do I need, and what further benefit can be mine? Verse 24, do not say, I have enough, and what harm can come to me now? Verse 25, in the day of prosperity, adversity is forgotten. And in the day of adversity, prosperity is not remembered. Verse 26, for it is easy for Yahweh on the day of death to reward individuals according to their conduct. Oh, I forgot to add this. On verses 18 and 19 of chapter 11, you can reference Psalms 49:10 and Luke 12, verses 16 through 21. That's Psalms 49:10 and Luke 12, 16 through 21. I missed that. I'm sorry. There's so many notes in here and they're so small. Verse 27 of chapter 11. An hour's misery makes one forget past delights. And at the close of one's life, one's deeds are revealed. Verse 28. Call no one happy before his death by how he ends. A person becomes known. And in the Greek, it says, and through his children a person becomes known. Another little subsection. This is care in choosing friends. Verse 29, do not invite everyone into your home, for many are the tricks of the crafty. I've been to parties where they just have an open door and people just wander in and they don't check who they are. And people's records and CDs and stuff gets stolen and purses get lifted. You know, a whole big bunch of people in an apartment and somebody just steals some woman's purse. You never know who comes in. So this is good advice here. Verse 30. Like a decoy partridge in a cage, so is the mind of the proud. And like spies, they observe your weakness, or downfall in the Greek, okay? Verse 31, for they lie in wait, turning good into evil, and to worthy actions they attach blame. What sounds like politicians today? Verse 32, from a spark many coals are kindled. And a sinner lies in wait to shed blood. Boy, oh boy. Verse 33, beware of scoundrels, for they devise evil, and they may ruin your reputation forever. Verse 34, receive strangers into your home and they will stir up trouble for you and will make you a stranger to your own family. That ends chapter 11. And I have plenty of time. We can do chapter 12. It's not all that long. Verse 1, and you can reference Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, that's Matthew 7, verse 6. If you do good, know to whom you do it, and you will be thanked for your good deeds. Verse 2. Do good to the devout, and you will be repaid, if not by them, certainly by the Most High. Verse 3. No good comes to one who persists in evil, or to one who does not give alms. Verse 4. Give to the devout, but do not help the sinner. Verse 5. Do good to the humble, but do not give to the ungodly. Hold back their bread and do not give it to them, for by means of it they might subdue you. Then you will receive twice as much evil for all the good you have done to them. Verse 6. For the Most High also hates sinners and will inflict punishment on the ungodly. And they add in other versions, and he is keeping them for the day of their punishment. Verse 7. Give to the one who is good, but do not help the sinner. That's the second time they said that. Verse 8. A friend is not known. Other authorities have punished. A friend is not known in prosperity or punished in prosperity. Nor is an enemy hidden in adversity. Verse 9. One's enemies are friendly or grieved. The Greek has grieved. Either way. One's enemies are friendly or one's enemies are grieved. When one prospers, but in adversity, even one's friend disappears. In other words, when you're on top, boy, you got lots of friends. They're just all over the place. But then you go bankrupt and they don't want anything to do with you. Verse 10, never trust your enemy, for like corrosion in copper, so is his wickedness. Verse 11, even if he humbles himself and walks bowed down, take care to be on your guard against him. Be to him like one who polishes a mirror to be sure it does not become completely tarnished. Verse 12 of chapter 12. Do not put him next to you, or he may overthrow you and take your place. Do not let him sit at your right hand, or else he may try to take your own seat. And at last you will realize the truth of my words and be stung by what I have said. Verse 13. Who pities a snake charmer when he is bitten, or all those who go near wild animals. Verse 14. So no one pities a person who associates with the sinner and becomes involved in the other sins. Verse 15. He stands by you for a while, but if you falter, he will not be there. Verse 16. An enemy speaks sweetly with his lips, but in his heart he plans to throw you into a pit. An enemy may have tears in his eyes, but if he finds an opportunity, he will never have enough of your blood. Boy. Verse 17 of chapter 12. If evil comes upon you, you will find him there ahead of you. Pretending to help, he will trip you up. Verse 18. Then he will shake his head and clap his hands and whisper much and show his true face. In other words, he's been shining you on, and now you find out what he's really made of. Well, that ends chapter 12. Now, I'm looking at chapter 13. It's got too many verses to try to do today. We're gonna do it on Friday. We'll start with chapter 13 on Friday. But that I have enjoyed today. Wow. These things are really outstanding. I'm enjoying this a lot. The guy that wrote this, really, this is wisdom literature, and he must have been really something. Must have been very, very, very wise. Because this is some outstanding stuff. That's all I can say. Common sense. I mean, that's what this is. It's common sense. You don't need a ton of bricks to fall on you to understand what this guy's saying here. Well, I've about worn it down. I've got about 7 minutes, so I can play a couple of songs here. I can't do chapter 13. It's just not going to happen. There's not enough time. But we can play some nifty neato. Let's do some... Yeah, we'll do some of these guys. Johnson Mountain Boys. If I can get it to start. Well, nothing's happening. Come on. I can't get to play. It's not working. Oh, man. Come on. Well, no. Not that. Well, let's see what we got here. Nothing. I'm having trouble today with the doggone computer. There we go. Johnson Mountain Boys. There it comes. It's buzzing. Yeah!
you hear me say?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Folks, I'm telling you, it's really been a wonderful evening here tonight.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.